Welcome in, y'all, to another episode of the Deep Thirst Podcast.
What's happening, y'all?
What's up? It's your boy, Jal, joined by yours truly, the man, the myth, the legend, the Coach Bear.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be talking about a couple of teams who we'll be keeping an eye on in the preseason. You know, quick little short episode for y'all. I just want to get some stuff out the way, get a little content to y'all before the season starts. But I know we want to talk about the Niners. I know that's what y'all are expecting to hear. Real quick, though, Let me walk back this take I had a couple weeks ago.
Listen to this segment. Pass the chill.
Hey, for my Giants brother, man, my bad, y'all. God damn. Before we kill me, can I explain why I was so heavy on the Panthers here for a second?
No, I get why, though. But yeah, go ahead and explain. I get why.
Nah, okay, so last season, because you know how me and Bear, both of us, but me in particular for this one, we real big on identities of football clubs. Like, a couple years ago, for my Niners people who think we hating, we was big on y'all because y'all had an identity. It was fresh. It was new. Y'all were building on something tangible. Same thing with the Eagles. I was heavy on the Eagles before all this Hurts nonsense. And then before we took over the league, I say, look, the Eagles, week in and week out, I know what they're doing. They have an identity, and you can't stop it.
Yep.
So last season, I'm watching the Panthers. It's honestly very reminiscent of what the Eagles were doing. It's just they were a very hard-nosed football team that ran the fuck out the football.
Yeah, and they really started to find their identity in the second half of the season. So that's what I understand your thought process. Like, okay, they're going to carry this over into the next year.
Exactly. Positive momentum. And they were playing good defense, too. And they were doing this with a coaching staff that I thought was inept, right? So Matt Rhule. And they had to replace him with Steve Wilkes. And, bro, Steve Wilkes.
We're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about that. We're going to save it.
Well, he really did. I feel like, honestly, he did underachieve, too, which what I thought was a time to you. Now, I know they lost JC, but they had Derrick Brown, who had a coming-out party last year. I like Louisville and Shaq Thompson as a tandem for the linebackers. They added Von Bell in the offseason, too, so the secondary now features Jeremy Chin, him, JC Horns taking a step forward. I know people don't like Donald Jackson, but he's a damn good player. Like, he's an NFL starter, bro.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So I'm thinking, okay, the defense is going to add Evro, and I love what he did with Denver last year. Like, for most of the season, the only reason Denver was watchable was because their defense would just keep them in games. Like, their offense is scoring 9 points a game, and their defense is allowing, like, 12, you know? So, like, he was doing a fantastic job with that unit. So, you know, in theory, right, they're upgrading their coach on both sides of the ball, Frank Reich from, you know, the ass clown that Matt Rhule was.
And their assistants, which matter, too.
They brought in a lot of very good assistants, too. So I'm thinking, okay, they're doing all of that. I know they lost DJ Moore. You know, we'll get into the weapons here in a second. But they also added in Bryce Young, who is – I mean, they were starting P.J. Walker at points of the season last year, dog. Like a Canadian football-level player.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they were winning ball games. So I thought very reminiscent to the 2019 maybe Baltimore Ravens, where you play downhill football, you run the football, you play hard-nosed defense, and that can lead to a lot of wins. Now, granted, Lamar is probably a better overall talent than Bryce Young was. He added more stuff to the running game. But, you know, Bryce Young, you know, for people who, by the way, who watch that preseason game, come away with the idea that Bryce Young can't play football in this league. Bro, his offensive line.
Yeah, that's not the talking point. If you said that, then – come on.
Yeah, bro. It's like I had to walk back my tape mostly because I think I overestimated the progression of the offensive line.
See, that's what I feel like a lot of their fans were banking on. Some of the guys they had last year getting better.
Right.
And I don't think they got better. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, we have it's only preseason, but it's a small sample size, but we just going off from what we saw.
Exactly. And the thing about offensive lines is, and I hate giving Paul and those smelly-ass Eagles credit here, but they really are the standard as far as offensive lines were. You look at, like, what it means to be a good offensive line, if you're looking at it through the lens of the Eagles, is they're good in all schemes. Like, they can run a wide zone concept to a T. They can run a power downhill duo concept, much like the Patriots, to a T.
That's pretty much like whenever the Saints were good, we're the same way. We're a good zone running team, and we pull guards and shit, too.
So. Mm-hmm. Inside, outside. Shit, they could pull Kelsey, too. Like, they could real funky and do stuff, too. But the thing that ties all of that together, because there is a lot of lines who I feel like can do all of that, like San Fran last year can do a lot of what they could do. You can look at the Panthers last year, the Falcons. But what really sets the Eagles apart is they can do all that forward momentum stuff, but as far as a drop pack passing offense, they have an elite offensive line there too as well. Yeah. And there's not too many teams who frankly have that, bro. It's them, the Cowboys, maybe the Browns.
Yeah.
And then that might be it as far as
and Lions.
Lions too. I forgot about Lions. My bad. Penny is a guy and Taylor Decker too. They have a lot of good Ragnar and all those guys, but not a lot of teams have every facet of that. And so I guess when I'm thinking the Panthers have a good offensive line, I guess I overestimated their ability to drop back and protect Bryce. And I'm watching this preseason. Granted, it is preseason, but I do not think they're going to be able to keep him upright this year, man. It just
– And what's kind of crazy about their projection, I guess is what you could say, I guess is what you could call it. A lot of people ignored the rest of the league. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you can look at a team's like their progression or what their ceiling can be. But you got to look at the other teams. Most times we look at the division. Are they going to be able to compete really in the division? And again, I'm almost to a point to where I think they'll be in last place in the division. I think you guys will be better than them.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody else said it but me, because obviously I'm not going to run around throwing my parade over finishing third. But, I mean, there is also a world where Bryce is a below-average quarterback year one, which is perfectly fine, bro, for a rookie.
He's a rookie.
You know, they already they can't keep him upright as it is, I don't think, from what I've watched. And he's going to take a lot of rookie sacks, holding the ball too long, not seeing stuff fast enough. He's a rookie. He could be a below-average player at his position, which is a great season for a rookie quarterback.
If I'm looking at the outlook of the division a year or two from now, or a year and two from now, I'm just thinking hypothetically. Say you guys upgrade the quarterback position next year. That's y'all automatically back in contention. If the Falcons upgrade the quarterback position and then tweak the defense, because they got a bunch of plug-in guys this year, like Bud Dupree. Right. But if they fix their defense and get younger, get a lot more talent, they're in the division. We got our first-round pick coming up, so we'll be able to reload talent again wherever it's going to be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
that's how the league goes, and ebbs and flows.
So other teams are still going to be getting better while the Panthers don't have a first-round pick. Like, it's almost like looking at it now, they're 2 years away.
Yeah, and they're pretty good. But do have a young roster, young offensive line. They have young guys on defense, J.C., Derrick Brown, Brian Burns. Obviously,
free agency can fix a lot for them next year.
Yeah, but they're just not ready to compete. I jumped the gun with that pick. Also, shout out to the Giants. I kind of underestimated how good they're at. They're how good they're going to be. They're going to be a nice little football team. Hey, man.
Denny looked good so far in preseason.
He does, and I was curious.
And
to
and let's be honest, we haven't heard anything negative about him. That's a good thing.
The process has been solid all offseason, which is very surprising from the Giants, honestly. But
let me ask you something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Year two leap with Joe Judge for Daniel Jones?
I think he's gonna be a much better player. Like he's kind of like the standard. I know we keep alluding to this, where it's like if you're better than Daniel Jones, you're a pretty damn good quarterback, and if you're worse, then you probably need an upgrade. But Daniel Jones is an underrated player, bro. Like, he doesn't get enough credit for what he adds to that rushing offense, but he's also very smart at this point in his career with the football. Like, there's not so many times I drop back in the game and I'm watching, I think Danny is going to lose them the football game. And so I think it was mostly about surrounding him and getting him more comfortable. And I'm really liking, like, the little, like, motion stuff they can do with Waller. They're bringing him across the formation and opens up stuff.
And then Hyatt can stretch the downfield. Outside receiver away from being really crazy.
Like, if they just had, like, a name, like, I respected to, like, be an outside the numbers threat besides Hyatt. Because I feel like Hyatt, like, you know, he's going to obviously stretch and be able to draw a lot of coverage away from, you know, you have to respect the speed. Like, that guy's legit 4-3. But I don't think they have an outside-the-numbers threat, whereas most of the contenders do. And unfortunately, they're in the division with Philly and the Cowboys. And that might be that's a tough four-game stretch for them, you know, whenever they play them. But I underestimated, like, their process has been good the last couple of years, bro. Like, they're investing in all the right spots.
Yeah.
You know, we got Okereke, who's an underrated linebacker from the Colts. And I mean, they got Isaiah Simmons today, but I mean, granted, Isaiah Simmons isn't anything, but I mean, a 7th-round flyer on somebody who Wink can play around with in sub packages. Like, we'll see what that looks like. But I kind of like what they're looking forward to, but no, now let's get to the main course, bro. Because I know you've been a couple months ago, bro. I had this Niners take in my mind, and it was just an idea. And everybody jumped the gun and said it was ass. But the closer we get to the season, I feel like more people are on board. And Yeah, I know you've been to a couple of the practices, and I know you got so much to say about them, bro. Go ahead, get that shit off.
Yo, so like, for me now, it's really about optics. And I know a lot of people are gonna say Trey Lance with the injury, unlucky injury history. I understand, but please, I've been asking questions on Twitter. Nobody's replying to me. When the last time we seen somebody treat a top pick like this, bro? Like, it's, bro, he didn't get a chance. And I don't have no, I guess, whatever, dog in the race or whatever the case may be for the Niners. But it's obvious what the Niners need to be a successful team. They need somebody to win downfield or be a playmaker at that quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
What is the ceiling? Like, please, somebody tell me what the ceiling for Brock Purdy really is, bro.
You know what's funny about what you just said? The thing that really unlocked him last year was Purdy being a playmaker. Like, being able to do things that Jimmy G necessarily wasn't able to do with all his injury histories. Making plays outside the pocket. He was taking shots down the field.
Even though him taking shots down the field is ugly and almost more inefficient than Jimmy. It's just Jimmy didn't take the shots.
Right. But it's like, you can see the bones of, like there. Can you imagine the Niners with, like, a legit quarterback? Exactly. Yeah.
You see what it's supposed to look like. And people going to tell, you know, people hype up the Purdy situation. They'll say, oh, he won the 7 games. And then it's like, okay, well, I thought this was a team game. He's out there. He has one of the best defenses in the league. Like,
quarterback wins. My goodness.
Yeah, come on, bro. Trey Lance never played a down with Kittle or McCaffrey. That's all Purdy knows is the offense with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And those little things matter when you're installing for the week. When Trey Lance is installing without Kittle for that whole week, that matters.
Yeah, these reps matter, bro. It's repetition.
All of this matters, bro. So, I mean, we saw it with his dad, which he was also on the staff. We saw what they did with RG, man. Like, it's optics to me. It's
a bad look for the Shanahan family, man. I think, because I'm 100% with you on this. I think what also baffles me about this conversation about Trey Lance is, by giving up on him, you do realize they're admitting a colossal organizational failure, right? Like, I know everybody's like, take Purdy out of it, because, like, to a certain extent, I can understand the Purdy conversation, because, you know, go with what's winning right now. I get that. But the Sam Darnold, like, placing this, it makes no sense to me, bro.
Come on.
If you had named Trey the second stringer, you don't lose him. Because I think why he wasn't at practice the other day is he had to have requested a trade, or something happened internally, right? Like everybody's on 100%. Right?
We don't know what it is yet, but 100% something happened internally.
But you named Trey the backup quarterback. A, you don't lose him, because you're not going to bring in a guy in Sam Darnold who we've had he's been in the league for, what, 5 years now?
Six, seven years.
We know he stinks, bro. Like, all these people saying, man, Sam Darnold, pretty throw. Like Sam Darnold, he's clearly quarterback one over there. Like, you guys do realize who Sam, like, we have 7 years of evidence of who this guy is as a player. You don't bring that guy in fresh, give him all the reps in practice and say, okay, this is our guy. Like, even from, like, an organizational standpoint, as far as not losing Trey, you name him number two. You could always go back later in the season to have Sam actually be your number, your pseudo two, you know?
Yeah.
But you don't declare that, bro. You don't just say, oh, Sam just came in, he beat out Trey. You're hurting his confidence, bro. You could have had him on board. You taking his value, because now if you want to trade him, you're saying, like, this guy's worse than Sam Darnold. Who's going to give you a fair price for that?
He's 23 years old, bro. And you telling me, like, and this is the thing,
Will Levis is 23.
Huh?
Will Levis is 23. There's quarterbacks this year who are older
don't know what a real game atmosphere even is, who are his age.
Bro, they gave up the moon and the stars for him, and it's just 4 games and we know he sucks? Come on, bro.
Again, if we want to add optics to this, shout out Dubs 408, my boy Alex, he posted Trey Lance's first game, bro, he rushed 16 times as the quarterback. I looked it up. I think that's happened twice in the last, like, 20, 25 years.
It's like somebody in that organization wants to justify going with Purdy And it really doesn't seem like Trey got a fair shake. And I know that sounds like a nut job conspiracy theory take. Who cares? The Niners will be fine. Elite defense, blah, 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 blah. But you cannot tell me if this was the Jets that this is good process. To trade all those picks and invest hundreds of million dollars into a position and then never give it a fair shake and then have your big ego coach declare that Purdy is just this guy who's going to lead our – like, and he's coming off of it. And it just – none of it makes sense from the outside looking in, but we kind of just got to accept it because we're supposed to respect the colors. Like, I just
is Kyle Shanahan is his job security tied in with Purdy?
It has to be with this decision.
He also called him the real deal about a week ago.
He did, but I think his basically it seems like they chose Shanahan over Trey. Is my overall arching takeaway from this is. Yeah. Purdy better be a guy, bro. Sam, one of these guys better get the job done. Because if Trey goes somewhere else and succeeds.
If he's the guy, I won't judge it off this year per se, but Kittle has a contract situation coming up. Ayuk does also. So that offense is not going to look the same a year from now.
It won't.
And so we'll see if Purdy's the real deal. Like, and that's we're going to judge this by the longevity of Purdy's career because the thing – if he couldn't do what Jimmy couldn't do, then what is the point? What was the point of giving Purdy that shot?
And I don't think Purdy is going to be this franchise quarterback, but he's think it's almost because when you criticize Purdy now, it feels like people just bring up that he won games and it's working out. I get that. And to be against that, it seems like people take that to be you hating on him.
Yeah.
And I will say the overbearing support for Purdy is actually more unfair than the criticism at this point because the dude is coming off of a pretty significant injury, bro, to his throwing arm. And if he looks less than this year, you guys putting him on this pedestal is going to open up conversation of him being a giant mistake. And I just don't think that's fair to a guy who just did his job when he came into the league, bro. All he did was his job. He didn't turn the ball over. He came in, put his head down, made a bunch of plays. And you guys putting him on his pedestal like he's this next up crop of guys. It's just it's unfair. Like he's better than Justin Fields. I'm hearing these takes like, bro, it's just so unfair to him as a player.
He was second in rookie of the year voting
off of nine games. Like, bro,
over Olave, bro.
It's just they're really setting this kid up for failure, and then they're gonna turn around and tear him down because you know how people work. You know they build you up, tear you down. But I think the overall takeaway for me for this is. The Niners likely will be fine, probably still win 9 or 10 games. Purdy will be, fine. Then you have Sam Darnold, I guess, to fall back onto. I think it's dumb that you screwed yourself out of having 3 quarterbacks when you could have just had 2 and just kept Trey, but, whatever. We'll see what the Niners are going to be this year. I'm more confident than ever in my Seahawks take that they're going to be, winning the division.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say it yet, but I can see the vision. I mean, we've been beating a dead horse, but their offensive line has real issues.
Yeah.
We just talked about Steve Wilkes about 5-10 minutes ago.
Yeah. We haven't even addressed that Nick Bosa's not in the building yet, too.
Nick Bosa is not in the building. Now, that's becoming a thing. That story started to build up literally an hour after the Trey story. So, this is literally back-to-back situations with the Niners. And their defense is almost Bosa or bust.
Yeah.
If we're going to be honest.
Important pass rush is, bro. It's just, I mean, not to belittle the like a pretty major point, but just the vibes with this team are bad this season, offseason, bro. It's just too much noise.
When the trade news broke, they sent Fred Warner to the podium to discuss it.
Shanahan didn't even take that one.
No, he didn't. He didn't go to the podium, but he went on the radio after.
My goodness,
like
bro. My God, bro. It's just. They're a super talented team, bro. You Niners fans, y'all will win 9 games, 10 games.
John Lynch also came out on the radio today and said that the Niners themselves didn't give Trey a fair shot. And we know what that really means. That Trey was John Lynch's pick. So shot at Kyle. Well, so it's looking ugly in that building. And that defense under Steve Wilkes so far this camp – in preseason,
by the Raiders.
They've been getting gashed.
The
reports where Jimmy G was looking crazy last week, it's insane.
You ever watch everything you say about a team like slowly become true? It's just like the offensive line issues that we were preaching about that nobody, you know, seemed to care about. We said the defense could be good, but take a step back. You're losing, you know, D'Amico. You're placing him with Steve Wilks. And, you know, defense seems to be not quite as dominant as they were last year. Purdy is, you know, from all I'm reading in campus, he's been okay. You know, he's nothing special. Nick Bosa's not in the building.
He throws a pick every practice. That's like the trending thing about Purdy.
Yeah, it's just funny. It's just funny when everybody disagrees with you about a point, and 6 months later, everybody
another
got,
big thing. You know, another big thing that you probably didn't hear. I know you've been probably seen me retweet Grant Cohn, that Niner reporter.
Oh, he's funny, bro. He's one of my favorite followers.
New media, man. That guy does his job well, bro. But he reported about 2-3 days ago. Javon Hargrave doesn't even look in shape. Bro,
yeah,
in 1 week, how your big name free agent is? He's not in shape.
I totally forgot about that. And we're how close to the season? Oh, no, another thing I think he was reporting is just like, you know, they keep saying they, you know, if for Nick Bosa, because it's back to Bosa, for Nick Bosa to, you know, get comfortably back in game shape and be ready for the season, you know, he said they would like him to be with the team for 2 weeks. And we're well past that point now, bro. Like, the season starts in, what, like 12 days? Basically, yep. 12? Like, and I don't think this deal is going to get done today or tomorrow. So we'll see when Bosa deal actually gets signed. But it's just, the vibes of this team are just so bad this offseason, bro. Do we have a positive story coming from the Niners this offseason? Because we hated their draft.
Debo's healthy.
Debo's healthy, and he said he was out of shape last year. So, I mean, there's that. But
hey, it was a crazy tweet that I don't know when you tweeted it. I think it was before last season or before this season, before draft time and everything. But you had tweeted, like, the Niners are essentially banking on McCaffrey being healthy for 17 games.
Yeah, bro, it's just, I mean, you're not gonna, it just, you traded for an injury prone player, I get it. He made it through the season, and it reinvigorated your offense, and it was a great move, and it got you to all the way to the NFC title game. But we saw what that running game looked like before McCaffrey got there. They just had Jeff Wilson, and their back running back's also injury prone too. But if he goes down, bro, I feel like this offense is gonna look like a lot like it did last year. Until that Rams, I think they traded for McCaffrey after that Rams game, and that game was close. It was like week 7. It was like to take the lead in the division with an average Rams team, and from there they got the ball rolling. But they were a very mediocre football team for most of the year last year, so they, you know, hit with about week 8 or week 7. But if McCaffrey goes down, bro, like Jesus Christ, good luck, Purdy, bro, good luck.
Yeah,
it's
putting that Kyle in that situation, but yeah.
It's a lot, man. And again, y'all, we just keeping it real, bro. Y'all, we was with y'all a couple years ago when nobody else was. I'm just reading the tea leaves, dog. I'm seeing. I don't like what I'm seeing. This is supposed to be like the Eagles, nothing but positivity. Rookie Carter's looking great. Offensive line's looking smooth.
Again, let's also talk about the outlook of that division. The Cardinals have 2 first round picks next year.
Mm-hmm.
Seahawks, they just, oh my god, they've had back-to-back crazy drafts, man. And
bro, how many starters did they get from that draft last year? They got Charles Cross. They got Walker last year.
Hey, bro, I don't remember the last time a team drafted 2 tackles and they both were starters.
Like, bro, they're both great, like, not great players, but like, they hit on both of them. They hit on so many draft picks, and you know, they're gonna add Witherspoon this year. Fucking Smithy Jibba looks amazing. We haven't even seen Charbonnet yet.
He's out for, I think, about a month with the wrist injury.
They always got a stable of capable backs over there.
I'm talking about JSN.
Oh, you talking about JSN? Yeah, Charbonnet went down too, but I think he should be fine by week 2. I was assuming.
Yeah, I think the same for JSN. He'll be back. He'll be back week 2.
Yeah, but I mean, Seattle building something, bro.
Yeah, Seattle. Like I said, Cardinals got 2 picks coming up, and I mean, they just drafted. They had a great offseason, low key, and nobody really talked about it. So I mean, I'm just gonna have to assume they'll have another great offseason next year. And then if McVay stays in LA, I'm sure they'll find a way to retool too. Like, this is just kind of going to be a project year for them, maybe.
I was reading something I don't think is going to happen, but can you imagine if McVay got his hands on Trey?
I was seeing reports about Seattle trying to trade for him too.
Yeah, again, I don't think John Lynch would trade him within division, but it's, I mean, if McVay gets Trey Lance, though,
yeah.
You know, learn from Matt Stafford, but you know, they'll be back pretty soon here shortly.
Yeah. So the Niners got to start thinking about how that division is going to catch up to them sooner or later.
Yeah.
You want to go to your Bucks?
Yeah. Where do I start with this team? I think my frustration with watching this Bucks team this season is knowing we have more good players than our record will indicate, I think.
I almost agree with that.
However, my realism kicks in is we have good players but no depth. And over the course of a season, I think that's going to start to show its head. And so, obviously, I'm watching preseason. I don't quite get to watch, you know, everybody's rookie D tackles doing amazing things. You know, Kansas out, so I can't really, you know, watch that. But I'm liking what I'm seeing from the youth of our team. I think a misconception about this Bucks team is that they're old, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I think that comes from last year. I think we were the oldest team in the league. But most of the players who drove our age up were inconsequential guys, the guys who just aren't here anymore. Like, okay, you're looking at last year's team. Brady's not here anymore. Lenny was old for his age. Jensen, you know, he's still on the roster. We'll see what happens with him. They had Akeem Hicks, and they had Logan Ryan, and they had Keanu Neal. Just, like,
It was a lot of vets last year.
And so I'm reading tweets and saying the Bucks defense is old and they don't, you know, and they're not getting younger. It's like we have Levante who's 33 and Shaq who turns 31 here in November. Nobody else who's going to be getting significant snaps is older than 28. No, I think a misconception with the Bucks is that we're old. We're actually one of the younger teams. Like much of this season is going to be dependent on first, second, or third year players and a lot of undrafted guys to step in the big roles. And that's a lot to do with our money situation. We kind of played it the opposite of how the Saints do, where we kind of just mortgaged our right now, try to get all this dead cap money out the way with Brady and all this other shit. Whereas y'all kick the can down the road. Both good processes, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we had a huge undrafted free agency class. Rakeem Garrett is going to be huge for us in our undrafted free agency. Sean Tucker's taking, you know, first team reps with Rashad at running back. And I think he was a great steal. I think he should have been a fifth round pick.
I agree.
I think I like a lot. I like so much about this team. I think when you look at our defensive line, you have Vita Vey and you're surrounding him with guys who can penetrate now with Logan instead of Golson. Golson was on his last legs last year. We had an old aging defensive line last year, and then Shaq got hurt. And so it was even worse. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then I think moving Vita back to nose should help Dev. I think he should go back to how he was looking before last season. Like last season, I think we tried to do a lot of three-gap stuff with Vita and put him kind of like an Aaron Donald-ish role. Mm-hmm. And it helped his sack numbers. He had 6.5 last year, which is great for him. But I think the rest of our team suffered. And I think despite all of that, we still had a pretty damn good defense last year still. You know, we were still
– yeah, I think it's the top half of the league, I think.
Yeah, we're still top – bro, we had 16, like, yes, 16 different starting DB combinations last year due to injury. I just don't foresee us being that banged up again, you know. And we're still, you know, 15th against the pass. You want to count EPA, 9th in total yardage, you know. Still a pretty fucking solid unit. But I think my overall takeaway is I like what we're doing. It's not going to be enough. As the closer we get to the season, the quarterback, like, and we have such a thin needle to thread to be a competitive team. And it's just, you know, the Saints got multiple ways to beat you now. You know, with Derek Carr, you know, they can air you out. They can run the football. We like your interior offense a lot. You can play defense. I just think Baker has to be way better than he is right now. We have to be able to run the football. Offensive line has to mesh. Cannot says to be good year one, along with our defense, you know, still being great and depending on all these young guys. It's probably not going to happen this year, which is fine, but I love what we're building, bro. Yaya Diaby, not getting a lot of press because you're a Buck and not a Cowboy. Great player, bro. Great player. That game against Seattle, against the Steelers, not a lot of people actually watch that game, but he's going to be a great player, bro. Like, we got to steal with that kid. Ryan Neal and S. Holford Jr. should be a top half of the league duo as far as safety. Godwin's going to be better this season because, you know, he's a year removed from that injury now. Mike is going to have a great year. And a lot of my fantasy is listening to this. Draft Mike Evans. Don't listen to these people, bro. Like, he's going to have a great year. Very 2019 Mike-esque. My last point is we're in a weird spot, bro. What the fuck do we do with Bowles? Like, if Bowles has a bad year.
Yeah, I never thought about that angle. I never thought about that angle.
We can't fire him because, okay, your replacement ideally would be an offensive coordinator, right? We just hired Canales and we love him. And Canales is not going to be no goddamn head coach after 1 year of play calling.
Yeah.
Is Bowles Teflon this year? And then he is Teflon this year.
I think he might – I don't think he – I'm not going to say he on the hot seat now, but again, like, it's kind of crazy because people almost predict him to come third or fourth in the division, and nobody's talking about Bowles being on the, I think it's almost expected for you guys not to, I guess, quote unquote, underachieve. So I don't think he's going to be on the hot seat unless it just looks really bad.
Yeah, I think to get fired, he would probably have to be like three wins. But I think
His unit or like y'all defensive unit has to be really bad. Like his unit has to be bad.
Oh, 100%. And this is it's certain guys in this league, you're just not gonna call a bad defense, man. It's just not gonna happen. It's just Bowles, Dennis Allen, Vangio, like a couple of these guys, they're just not gonna call a bad defense, especially if you're with bodies. Yeah. It's just we're kind of in a weird spot with him. Well, I don't think we can fire him because his replacement likely brings in his own guys. Or it's not going to be an internal hire because all these guys are new. Like, these are all new hires. Like, we're not going to hire, like, George Edwards from the Cowboys. Like, he's not going to be our head coach. Casey Rogers is part of both staff. Ideally, you're cleaning house. So, you know, we're kind of in a weird spot with that. But I'm very excited for the future. I'm honestly very intrigued to watch this version of the Bucks, man. Like, if I could just erase the entire history of the 2010s Buccaneers, that would probably be good for my mental health. I don't think we're going to go back to that. I actually think we have a foundation to build on here. We have a lot of good players.
I agree, low-key. So, like, the thing about teams in a situation like yours, y'all, if quarterback play is what hinders y'all, you guys have a good enough team to, like, trade up to go get one if need be. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's almost like you won't have to do a team reset. So you guys, that's why I feel like you're kind of excited because okay, like if you win seven games, you're like okay, we got something to build on. Let's go get a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Shit, I'll take a flyer. I know Paul was tweeting it out on the timeline the other day. I'll take a flyer on Trey Lance. If we're bad enough, we're in Marvin Harrison range, and we get Trey Lance, and we retooled offensive line with a little extra cap space last year. I mean, shit, we're kind of right back in this shit. Yeah. You know,
especially in our division.
But yeah, I'm liking a lot of what I see from the younger guys, man. Cody Mock looks like he's going to be a guy in a couple years. He probably needs to get a little bit stronger. I actually like Gadecki way more at right tackle than guard. He's actually having a pretty good offseason, unnoticed. I think none of our starting defenses have played the entire offseason. So we've been holding out all of our guys. Chris Isian in the slot, I really like that. But it's probably going to be D-Delaney this offseason. But, you know. Enough about the Bucks, man. You know, we're just gonna have to prove it to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before anyone gets your stuff about the Saints, so
before I get to them, I wanna talk about one team that's kind of flying under the radar in a bad way. Like I feel like they should be getting talked about. Sean Payton. Yo, Denver Broncos, you guys look really bad.
you got to take a shot. You signed Drew B's photo the other day, right?
Yeah. Hey, I already said it, bro. Nobody tweet me about that sucker Drew Brees for a whole calendar year, bro.
Damn.
Bro, you go to Denver, bro? Fuck them niggas, bro.
Damn, it's like that, bro. You remember Brees is king of the Drews, bro? Back in the day, he was doing his thing.
You didn't build your kingdom in Denver, bro.
That's crazy. Bro.
That was phony. That's some shit Peyton Manning got to go do. That's his job.
Wearing the Denver gear is crazy, too, by the way.
That's come insane. On, bro.
Damn.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, they look terrible, man. They are. Where do they go from here, bro? If they're bad this year, where do they go from here?
Did you see the video of Tim Patrick rupturing his Achilles?
Yeah, it's so unfortunate, man.
Jerry Jeudy pops his hamstring today. He's out at least. I think they said 4 to 7 weeks.
Offensive line looks terrible again.
Russ, I mean, he looked like last year, Russ.
If they're bad again, where do they go, bro? I honestly don't know. The most exciting part about this team is they have a star corner.
Yeah,
that's where do they go? Oh, actually, you know who actually does look great, who probably needs more press too? The Steelers, bro.
Yeah, they do. They just had a hell of a draft.
Oh, they look fucking amazing, bro.
Herbig and Benton, like Jesus Christ.
That's a crazy. Like, Kenny looks amazing too. All preseason, he's hooping today.
In my dynasty fantasy league, Kenny is my quarterback too. My quarterback one is Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
So I need Kenny like that. That made me feel good. Yeah, Kenny was going crazy, bro.
I feel so bad for Steelers fans that they can't send four teams, right? Like, that's impossible under these new rules. You can't send four teams to the playoffs from your division. Is that impossible or is it possible?
I don't know. I don't know if it's like possible, like analytically, like if a whole division could go.
Bro, because it's like,
yeah, that somebody.
If I was making a top 10 in the AFC, are all four of them in there?
Yeah.
They have, like, they all look great, bro. I said it before, I said it again. I think all four of those teams are better than the Jets, bro. All four of those. And it's crazy because one of those teams won't be in the dance. That's crazy.
Yeah. The Jets' first 8 weeks is a fucking gauntlet.
It really is. I just, how do you block the Steelers up front? If Ben is real, bro.
Hey,
like,
I hate Durack Slim, but that guy, he's been saying it for weeks, bro. The Niners are not safe week 1.
Hey, bruh, I'm telling you, walking into Pittsburgh, they have TJ back healthy. They have Highsmith back. They got Ben and they got Hayward. Now they got Herbig, who's a steal too. Like,
oh
my God. They got ancillary guys on the roster too. Like, bro, like that's a fucking good defense, bro. They got Porter too, Minka.
Yeah.
They have a good unit. Their offensive line, like, they've been.
They drafted three defensive starters. I mean, you probably won't say Herbig or Benton won't start, but they'll get starter snaps this year.
Yeah, you have to find a way to get them on the field.
Yeah, they're playing this. They're going to be key players for the Steelers this year. They drafted three starters, bro, on the defense. Like, it's crazy.
You know, George Pickens has his warts, and a lot of people, you know, make the separation jokes. But, you know, at a certain point, if you just catch everything. Yeah,
if you're doing your job, you're doing your job.
If you're just making every catch contested or not, I mean, how much does it really affect you? But it's like, bro, like, they have such a deep team. The Marvin Leal, who I liked a couple years ago, was, you know, he's like their eighth guy on this team.
Yeah.
Firemouth's a great tight end.
Shout out Mike, man. Shout out Uncle T, man.
Realistically, bro, if Kenny is a hit, bro, that changes the temperature, man.
And Mike was hyping him up last year, and everybody was like, what? Like, Yeah, maybe you saw something we didn't, man. That's crazy, actually.
Dude, if he's a hit, bro, that changes the temperature in the AFC, bro. Like, that is a Hall of Fame coach with a revitalized defense and an offense that works.
Yeah, and I was a huge Pat Freiermuth fan when he was going through his draft process. I was a big fan of him.
No, Calvin Austin is borderline unguardable. It looks so good this preseason. I almost want to get a crazy takeoff, but I know I shouldn't.
Yeah,
they just look so fucking locked in right now, bro.
I like what the Steelers done this offseason for sure. Now that's a great take actually to bring them up. That's a great take. But I guess I'll bring up the Saints a little bit. AK got the 3-game suspension. I think this is the first time where I'm talking about it on a podcast actually. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not looking at our schedule, but I think we got who's our first game? I forgot our first game is, but the Titans, then the Panthers, then the Packers. Those are our first 3 games without AK. I think they're all winnable games. If we go 2-1, that's ideal, obviously. Kendre, he looks like an NFL player. He just has to learn to play the running back position. He got to learn the scheme, obviously. Mm-hmm. He got to learn run fits and everything. He got to learn to read boxes and fronts. Especially when we do, you know, how our offense is, we like to mix it up with a power scheme and a zone scheme. So you're going to have to learn both. You know what I mean?
And they are different too. Like, not a lot of people know that. They're very different to read.
Just the principles of the schemes are different. And I could tell, like, I don't know if you saw the play was a zone stress scheme. I think it was the second preseason game against the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
He should have gotten vertical. It was a zone scheme, a zone run to the left. The edge defender shows you are in the trap. Was the first edge defender shows you got to move your eyes to the next threat.
Yeah.
The next threat showed itself. He should have gotten vertical right there. He didn't, and the second threat got him. So it was a 2-yard loss.
Yeah, so, no, I think part of it might be pacing too, because he is coming from college to
The speed might be a little different.
It's a little bit different, but yeah, no, every running back knows, you know, when you have to go, what's it called? You have to bounce, you have to break, bounce, or you have to,
bounce, bend or bang.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I just don't think he's quite ready for that. But I think as an RB3 growing into that role, he'll be fine. You know?
Right. And then, but later in that game, he scored. I think it was like a 5-yard run. I think it was the same type of run, zone stretch to the same side. He hit it perfectly the second time. Same game, I think he caught a wheel route for about 30, 40 yards and looked AK-esque. So he flashes. He flashes. I'm okay with that. I really don't know who CB2 is going to be. I like Alante just a little bit better. He's a true outside corner. I think we're forcing him playing in the slot, and he's not bad at it. He's just better at outside corner. When he was playing slot, somebody beat him on I think it was a slot. It was a slot 9 route. He got beat over the top. But then very next possession, he played outside corner, tipped the ball, and it was a pick. He's just an outside corner. He's a dog on the outside.
It's funny how divided y'all fan base is over that spot to me. Like, just reading it from the outside looking in, it's like, yeah. Should it be Alante? Should it be
Adebo? Yeah.
Adebo.
I like Alante just a little bit more. He's faster. He has better ball skills, man. I think he's just a smarter player. And that's crazy to say because Adebo went to Stanford. I don't know. I'm ready for Pete Warner to pop off. I know you asked me earlier, is this the year for him? I thought it was going to be last year, and I was heavy on it being last year. And he was honestly one of the best players in the league until he got hurt, honestly. He was having a crazy year. So I think he'll take it this year. Marshawn's healthy. He banged his knee a couple days ago, but they say it's minor. So I'm excited. I'm excited for us. I'm excited. Olave looks crazy. Brazil looks crazy. I know a lot of Saints fans weren't high on Foskey, but he popped in the second game against the Chargers. He had like 4 pressures. So we turned it in the right way. What the Saints do, they just build a team. They don't really value certain positions. We always kind of just go BPA unless we're forced to go and get a position. Like we were forced to get Olave last year.
Mm-hmm. How that worked out.
Right. We were forced to get Penning last year. I know people. That's another thing. People are, you know, half on the Penning thing. I think he's looked great in the offseason so far, and he's going to be a project anyway. Like, what are we expecting? You know. So, I think we'll win the division.
Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious at this point. With the outside chance of Falcons surprise everybody, but come on.
Right. I got 9 or 10 wins.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I think we'll be a top 5 defense. Offense, we should be somewhere within like top 13. So I like what we got going on.
Yeah, it better feels good. So, because I think one thing in the 2010 that I envied about the Saints was from a team building, like you were just alluding to, a team building standpoint. You didn't. It's not like you knew what you were gonna do, but it always made sense. You know, they always seem to make a savvy contract signing. You always seem to like hit right on the draft class. You know that legendary 2017 draft class that y'all had. You guys had like 5 guys who were basically Pro Bowlers
or all pros. Pros for sure.
It's just when you can just rely on your GM to always do the smarter thing as far as like player building standpoint. It feels pretty good, and so. You know, I had to shit on y'all earlier in the process. You know, Derek Carr, this, that, and the third. But he makes sense, bro. He unlocks a dynamic to y'all offense that y'all severely lacked last year. Mm-hmm. You know, like you couldn't throw the football last year, man. And a lot of it was offensive line. You know, injuries up front. I think some of you guys are unheralded up front. I really like McCoy. I think McCoy's a very underrated player.
Me too. I think he's a center that doesn't get talked about.
I think, obviously, I like Ram. I've been told that Cesar Ruiz is actually a player.
He's trending the right way. And, you know, I've been critical of him, but he's trending the right way. I expect Hurst to beat out Pete in the left guard.
Yeah. If anything would derail y'all, it would be that left side. You know, and you know how Carr can be with pressure. So, I mean, hopefully if y'all Penning, you know, with a year under his belt, he looks like a guy. This is kind of a pseudo-rookie year for him, but he's not really a rookie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But – you know, hopefully, you know, he's a guy for y'all, then, you know, yeah, left side is fine, but a very dangerous team. I just feel like there's a couple pieces away from making y'all a true contender. Like, you guys, I think, do need, another couple stables of edge rushers or just pass rushers in general, because I think a lot of last year you guys didn't quite have that. You had to send Caden on a lot of pressures, last year because he couldn't generate one.
And speed. We need speed. Like, that's what people were wanting on the edge this year.
Yeah,
that's
you guys have a lot of power guys.
Yeah. But again, like you just said we're going to have like a lot of power rushers. Payne Turner looks like he's finally might be able to turn the page. He's been having a crazy offseason too. But you and Paul always say like we don't really get sacks, but the pressures do enough for our defense, and that's true. That's just what it is.
Like you guys don't have like a great line, but you do, yeah. And a lot of it is Cam. But it's like I feel like even though you guys never have a great one, you guys always are in the top half of the league in sacks. Maybe it's coverage.
Last year was crazy because like for the first like half of the season, we were bottom 10 in sacks, and then we ended like top 7 or something.
Bro, it's like that a couple years before last year too. It was just the Saints couldn't get home. And people are like, our four-man pass. I saw it all the time on the discussion on Twitter. Our four-man pass. And by the week's end, it's like, okay, Cam's getting to a game now. He got a four-gamer in there. And, you know, Granderson is a guy now off the edge.
Yeah, yeah. I like what we did with our D-line, actually. Just thinking of, like, saying it out loud, Granderson, Payne Turner might be something. We went and picked up Kalen Sanders, the D-tackle from Kansas City. And I forgot the other D-tackle we picked up. But I like, oh, Nathan. Shepherd.
Dr. Brzee and Foskey,
and then we got Cam. So we got some depth. Like it's just a lot of young guys who gotta find their own. Granderson full time starting role. So yeah.
We'll see. Falcons really try to bite y'all swag, because I think for what you just said, like you guys don't really have a speed guy like Brian Burns, we have Joe, you know, Joe and Shaq are kind of the guys who can just kind of like turn that corner quickly.
Exactly.
We don't really have that. But you and then the Falcons, they stole one of you guys' assistants on your defense side of the ball, and they stole Caden. And I think they try to build our defensive line is very similar to y'all in the regards to they don't have that super twitchy, bendy, fast guy, but they just have
– But we'll collapse the pocket.
Exactly. And they can create mismatches because even though these guys aren't fast, like they do have outside versatility. Like Cam's 280. He can play inside or out. You know, same thing with Payne Turner. Foskey could probably have a little insider outside versatility. It's just guys who are difficult matchups to block from a length and power standpoint.
And you see it all the time just from playing us in the division. Like when we get to those downs where it's like 3rd and 8 and Cam's, we're in a like diamond defense where Cam's standing up, like head up on the guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Our whole D-line system, so you don't know where the stunts are coming from or whatever the case is. So yeah, we still have that versatility. I just would like a speed guy.
Yeah, I think it really changed your life. So hopefully you guys never get it.
I do. All right.
But yeah.
It's two more teams I want to talk about. We already brought one up, the Jets. That first like 2 months is just so I'm gonna just say the first 8 games right now. We don't have to do like if they'll win or not. I just want people to hear it out loud. They got the Bills at home. Then they go to Dallas. Then they got the Patriots at home. Then they got the Chiefs at home. Then they go to Denver. Then they got the Eagles at home. Then they go to the Giants. Then they got the Chargers at home. That's the first 2 months.
That's a difficult stretch for. Is there an argument to be made that Billy Turner might be the worst starting tackle in all football? What are they doing with Becton? But it's just so strange to me. He's very clearly should be starting. He's one of their best athletes. Had a solid preseason. Does Aaron not trust him? Do they simply just not have the guys to rotate? Like that offensive line is scary. It scares me, man. It really does.
Yeah, and you're protecting a 40-year-old guy.
Yeah, he doesn't like to get it as it is.
Who already has like 2 or 3 collarbone injuries in his career.
Mm-hmm. As you're bringing back a running back off injury, it's just like that team is going. It's so hard for me to say that they won't be good because obviously that defense and then Aaron is a Hall of Famer. So you have to, and then you can't replicate that type of brain power at the quarterback position. He can still throw, you know? So.
Right. It's just when you see the Bills in that division and then the what ifs of Miami, like Miami's ceiling can scare the Jets.
Yeah, it's super high. And then, I mean, not to pile it on, but I mean, I don't think the Patriots are a bad team, bro. I don't. Like, I think
Patriots can still win just because Belichick.
They can still win from Belichick. That defense should be nasty. Then, I mean, offensively, they still have a good offensive line. They got two good running backs now.
It's Bill O'Brien, so it'll look better.
They have a watchable, digestible product on the offensive side of the ball. Now, you could question the weapons, but you have a guy who's proven he can call plays in this league, you know? Yep. They have some things they can do. Like, they don't have at least any elite separators, but they're still a difficult team to go up against, you know? That's not free wins. There's a world where one of the Dolphins or the Jets, in my opinion, bottom out, and they're actually last, mm-hmm. and the Patriots are third, you know? There's a world where that exists to me. But, yeah, it's such a hard division to call. I think you're sure Buffalo will win it. I'm pretty confident at this point. I think the conversation around Josh Allen is so weird at this point, where like, bro, that is the second most talented quarterback in the world right now. It's just it is what it is. He's a guy. Mm-hmm. He's gonna lead him to wins, even if it might look uglier. I know I said they might struggle for 10. It's just I really don't believe what they have around them, but you know he's still a guy. And then. Outside of that, I have no idea who's finishing second, bro. I have not a clue, not the slightest clue who could finish second. Or that second team isn't going to make the playoffs. So we'll
see. I think I said on the AFC episode that a hot take of mine was that only one team makes it from that division. I think I said that. If I didn't, I was saving it for a future episode. But, yeah, I can see that. Where only the Bills make it. Last team I do want to talk about, I was going to do the Lions, but I'll save that for a later date. I actually want the Lions fan to come on and talk about them. Me and I tried to get Adam for the NFC episode. Our schedules conflicted, but I do want him to get on the pod and talk about the Lions, because they are super. It's almost, you know what, two fan bases are synonymous this offseason? The Panthers and the Lions. Like, they're super confident in their teams.
Even though, you know, for the better part of the last couple of years, especially the Lions, like, they have, like, what are you confident in, you know? What you have, it seems just going to turn the page. But I guess I have to hear what the Lions fans think. And they're in a funky-ass division, too, bro.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to speak on them. I want to get one of their fans on. And we will, before the season starts, we'll probably drop another episode or two before the actual season starts.
Can we ban Amon-Ra conversations from please, this episode?
Please. We're not talking about Amon-Ra. Maybe I really don't want to talk about him all 2023. But I know, depending on what he looks like or his stats, we're gonna have to force. Like, but we already had those Cooper Kupp discussions a couple years ago. Like, it's kind of redundant. Before that, we had the Keenan Allen convos. Like, can we please stop? Can we please stop?
Yeah, we might have to say that one for a later date, man.
Yeah, but now the team I did want to talk about though is the Commanders.
I'm actually super interested to hear what direction you want to take this.
Yeah, because is Ron on the hot seat?
He should be.
He has to be. So is EB next in line if Ron?
100%, right? He has to be, bro. Yeah, 100% has to be. And it's so strange to me that the player is not rocking with EB, bro. Like,
yeah. But and then the reports that EB like coaches harsh or whatever the case may be. I don't know if you saw those reports coming out like 2 weeks ago. Then Tyreek Hill and Miko came out and said, yeah, like he does, but do you want to be great? Like, you know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly, bro.
Yeah, so, we see what he produces with offenses, bro. Like, come on.
It's hilarious that a team full of losers doesn't want to be coached hard. But like, bro, if there was any reason that speaks to why you guys have been what you have been for the better part of 15 years, it's just – he coaches too hard, like, bro.
Right. So Ali brought that up to say. Ali brought this team up to say, I'm gonna judge this team solely based on their offense this year, because I don't think that like Chase Young, they declined his fifth year option, so he might not even be back in the building. Obviously, if Ron's not there, EB's gonna hire his own guy, so a new defensive scheme is gonna probably be in place next year anyway. So I'm not even gonna judge the defense. But EB, I'm definitely judging the offense, especially the Howell situation. Is he the guy? Is he not? We're going to find out.
Right.
But they have the weapons. Obviously, they need to retool the line. It won't happen this year. Needs to happen next year. I just, what's the outlook on them, especially? Like, you know how we do it. Like, a year or two from now, what do they look like in that division? Because the Eagles are going to be competitive. Cowboys have some questions. I think Dak, I saw earlier, Dak's contract is up this year.
Yeah, the Cowboys are competitive now, but the future of that team is I'm very interested in what they do going
forward. I saw somebody say, hey man, if Kyler gets shopped, why not?
Like, I'll take a shot on that. Shit.
If you're the Cowboys, fuck Dak and go get Kyler.
If Dak bottoms out this year, then you know the Giants are building something.
What do you think about the Commanders?
I pretty much align with everything you just said. I think their offense with EB calling the play is going to be super fun, bro. I think Dotson and Terry, when he gets healthy, they have Brian Robinson. And then they've been talking about using Gibson more of like a hybrid Debo type of role where he runs and catches passes.
Oh, that's dope. Okay.
Yeah, bro. It looks very interesting to me on paper. And I mean, the defense, we know who the IDLs are. You know, Deron and John Allen are probably the best duo in the league. But the thing that intrigues me most about this team from the outside is the secondary, where I think everybody laughed at the Emmanuel Forbes pick.
Yeah, but he's fucking balling. He's balling.
I actually really like him. Like, they needed a guy who can make plays in that. And I think he doesn't get enough talked about for his versatility either. He can play in the slot too.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fuller.
He's had a good camp. He's had a good preseason too. So there's nothing we can say about that.
Fuller, him, St. Juice, Cam Curl. I don't think they have a true free, but I like secondary, man.
Yeah, they kind of just stagger Curl, and I like that other safety they got, Forrest.
Yeah. They kind of seem like they do much of the same stuff.
But they play both of them at the same time, I think. They don't really, like you said, they don't really use either one as a true free or strong safety. They just kind of just stack, rock and roll both of them.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, so hypothetically, if they're a team that can use their defensive line to get you in like long downs and just play a lot of two high stuff, I mean, I think they have three corners who I like, and you know, the safeties, you know, you're each just responsible for a half. Like, you're not gonna play much single high with this team, hopefully, but I really like their secondary, bro, and their weapons are very interesting to me. It's just I just hate the offensive line. The head coach is in flux. Linebackers are meh. Edges are. I Sweat's a nice player, I think. I don't know what Chase is, but
right.
I think going forward, that should be an interesting team to talk about. But
they another team that's a year or two away.
A year or two away. You gotta start at the bottom sometimes, man. It's just build out.
It's gonna be interesting to see EB as a head coach, because he's gonna have to make hires. He's gonna have to make decisions, and then like we're gonna have to finally start judging him as a head coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Be interested to see it, dog. And then Howell is just a mystery box to me, man. It's just he looks like he can play in this league from the preseason. So, I mean, is he the answer? I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to see. You know, Sneakily, another guy who looks like he can play this league, Kyle Trask.
All right, man.
I'm dead serious, bro. Like, no, he had some he nice tape against the Jets.
He did put up some nice tape.
He had some nice tape. Like, admit it, bro. You watched that game, you were like, this guy's in a grocery bag, and you were like, hold on now.
He put up some nice tape. I can't hate.
He was under duress, bro. We had a bad offensive line. I'm not saying he did, so I'm just saying, like, some team going to get a nice little backup quarterback, you know, when his contract up, because hopefully he's not on our team.
And we see backup quarterbacks matter. I don't know what it is, but in the past, like, 7 years, backup quarterbacks have been mattering. I want to almost say, I mean, since the Nick Foles Super Bowl,
yeah, since Nick Foles,
the backup quarterbacks have been mattering and getting paid. So,
my boy in the background bugging. He thinks I just called trash Nick Foles. He bugging back there.
Come on, man. I forgot your boy, an Eagles fan, man. Come on, relax, man.
Yeah. Hey, you probably can't hear him, but how you feel about the Eagles this year, dog? You say you're going all the undefeated?
Going all the way?
Okay, I'm trying to get safe.
Nah, bro. Hey, I'm not gonna lie with how shaky we feel about the Niners. Somebody gonna have to emerge to compete with them. The Cowboys, the closest thing in their division, but bro, it has to be somebody else, bro.
Yeah, they have to have more calm.
The Eagles have no calm right now.
I know they got calm week 3 Monday Night Football. I know that's for sure.
Who they got?
They got the Bucks, man.
20-point blowout.
20-point blowout, boy, you got your fucking mind. What? 20-point blowout?
That might be, bro.
Hey, get the fuck out of here, though. I will be in the building, man.
What is Baker going to do when he see Jordan? Nah, bro. Jalen Carter and – no. Baker might, nah, bro. He chugging that, bro.
No, we'll be fine, man. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it, man.
Baker, nah, like Baker might get sacked like four times, bro.
That's cool. We gonna get to Jalen eight times.
You, all right, man. All right, man. Hey, they really gonna be running up and down the field. They not even gonna pass the ball that
Shaq, Yaya, Joe, Kansi, Vita. That's a lot of dudes you gotta block up front, man. Jurgens can't be this guy. Yeah, come on now.
Is Jurgens even gonna be? No, he's not playing, man.
Jurgens gonna start at guard, ain't he?
A guard? Did they announce that?
I think so, yeah. Right? Wait, so Jurgens under? Yeah, he is.
Damn, that's crazy. So who's the other guard? Landon?
Yeah, Landon.
Oh, man.
Kansi versus Jurgens, man. That's primetime TV right there.
Kansi versus Jurgens. That might be primetime TV. I'm not gonna lie. Hey, now real film watchers gonna be locked.
Yeah, yeah, you know, man. You know, real film watch is gonna be locked into that matchup.
Yeah, I do got the Super Bowl. My Super Bowl pick keeps changing, but I got Eagles, either Ravens or Chiefs. Obviously, like if you don't pick the Chiefs, you just overthinking. But everybody gonna have a second team. If I had to, it's the Ravens right now.
Yeah, I just not to keep bringing that team up, but I. Like, bro, like you're giving Lamar an actual NFL offense, man. Like, they're gonna be very difficult to guard, in my opinion, this year. So we'll see about it. I worry about that defense a little bit though. Their secondary looks to be a little bit banged up, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Couple more days, y'all. We probably drop another episode or two before the season start. But appreciate y'all, man. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Go like, go 5-star that joint, whatever. Follow. Hit me and Jab up for questions if y'all want to get on the episode, whatever. Man, this is y'all podcast for the people, man.
Mm-hmm.